Hello and welcome. This is Bob Proctor with lesson number 11 from the Lead the Field Seminar, today's greatest adventure. Earl Nightingale began by saying, "You've heard the definition of success as the progressive realization of a worthy goal. The purpose of this message is to tell you of a wonderful way to keep realizing, to keep achieving your goals one after another in the years ahead. A goal sometimes seems so far off, and our progress often appears to be so painfully slow that we have a tendency to lose heart. It sometimes seems we'll never make the grade, and we come close to falling back into old habits which, while they may be comfortable now, lead to nowhere. Now, there's a way to beat this. It's been used successfully by many of the world's most successful people, and it's been advocated by many of the greatest thinkers." We're coming into an idea here that you're really going to love. You see, this is the lesson where we really determine whether we have merely gathered information or truly learned something. You'll remember the advice we were given 2,000 years ago, "By their fruits you will know them." Just as you can tell the quality of a tree by the fruit it bears, so too you can tell a person's level of understanding by the results they achieve. Keep in mind, our paradigm has us accepting the concept that if we can remember and repeat information, we have learned it. Regardless of how often we've heard it or how many people believe it, that is definitely not learning. It is merely gathering information. That is precisely why so many people continually get the same results. They buy and read the books, attend the seminars, and nothing happens. Their frustration is actually heightened. Learning is when we consciously entertain an idea, we emotionalize the idea, we act on the idea, and we observe a change in the results. Learning is not difficult. It's altering the old paradigm where the difficulty comes in. Earl Nightingale just mentioned that he was going to give us an idea that has successfully been used by many of the world's most successful people, and it's been advocated by many of the greatest thinkers. I can tell you from personal experience that it's an idea I have used, which has been worth an absolute fortune to me and will be to you when you act on it. However, you must remember that your old paradigm will put up a royal battle in an attempt to stop you from acting on a new idea. We've brought to your attention time and time again in this program that to act on a new idea calls for you to break an old habit. The old habit is part of the paradigm and does not want to let go. This is where study pays off. It gives you understanding. And as we begin to act on the new idea, we want to understand that the difficulty we are encountering is caused by the opposition that's created because of these two ideas. They are polar opposites. It is absolutely essential that we mentally marry our new idea that is going to improve the results we're getting with the goal that it will lead us to. The moment we lose sight of the goal, the old habit gains control. It would be worth listening to this lesson 100 times to make certain that we clearly understand the laws that govern growth. All great educators have always known that repetition is one of the first laws of learning. Now let's return to Earl Nightingale's words and the idea he promised would change our life. It's to live successfully one day at a time. A lifetime is comprised of days, strung together into weeks, months, and years. Let's reduce it to its lowest common denominator, a single day, and then still further to each task of that day. Look at it this way. A successful life is nothing more than a lot of successful days put together. It's going to take so many days to reach your goal. If this goal is to be reached in a minimum of time, every day must count. Now, let me mention, the first time I walked into Earl Nightingale's office, I saw a picture of he and his wife on his credenza being introduced to the Queen of England. If you take a look in the Bible, you're going to find in Proverbs, it says, "Seest thou a person diligent in their business, and they'll stand before kings." This man accomplished more in a short period of time than anyone I had ever met. And because I was watching him and mentoring with him, I just thought that he had managed to master time. I was out at a breakfast meeting with Earl Nightingale. We were on a speaking engagement in downtown Chicago, and he asked me if I'd like to meet him for breakfast before the engagement. Of course, I never passed up an opportunity like that, and when I went, I always had a couple of questions that I would ask him. We were sitting there having breakfast, and I said, "Earl, tell me, how did you master the management of time?" I can still hear Earl's laugh when I asked the question. He said, "I don't manage time." He said, "Time can't be managed. No one manages time. We merely manage activities." Interesting, isn't it? And he pulled out a little piece of paper. It was actually an 8.5 by 11 sheet folded in three, carried it in his suit coat pocket. He said, "I just sit down at night and I write down on this sheet what I'm going to do the next day." He said, "I put them in the order of importance and then I make sure they get done." You'll very rarely ever find me without an 8.5 by 11 sheet folded three ways in my pocket. I picked up that habit that morning. Now keep in mind, the old paradigm fought me, but I won. Now let's go back and listen to Earl here again. He said, "Think of a single day as a building block with which you're building the tower of your life. Just as a stonemason can put only one stone in place at a time, you can live only one day at a time. And it's the way in which these stones are placed which will determine the beauty, the strength of your tower. If each stone is successfully placed, the tower will be a success. If, on the other hand, they're put down in a hit-or-miss fashion, the whole thing's going to be shaky and look pretty bad." Now, this may seem like a rather elementary way of looking at it, but I want to make it clear, and it's a good and logical way of looking at a human life. All right, then, let's take it one day at a time, from the time we wake up in the morning until we drop off to sleep at night, keeping our goal in mind as often as possible. Now, each day consists of a series of acts of all kinds, and the success of a day depends upon the successful completion of most of these acts. Now, if everything we do during the day is a success, that is, done in the best fashion of which we're capable, we can fall asleep that night in the comfortable knowledge that we've done our very best, that our day has been a success, that one more stone has been successfully put in place. Now, this is the way to really live. Do each day all that can be done that day. You don't need to overwork or to rush blindly into your work, trying to do the greatest possible number of things in the shortest possible time. Don't try to do tomorrow's or next week's work today. It's not so much the number of things you do, but the efficiency of each separate action that counts. Gradually, you'll find yourself increasing the number of acts and performing them all much more efficiently. To get the habit of success, and that's why successful people go from one success to another, because it's a habit with them. To get the habit of success, you need only to succeed in the small acts of each day. This makes a successful day. Enough of these, and you have a successful week, month, year, and a lifetime. This is why I say success is not a matter of luck. Far from it. It can be predicted and guaranteed, and anyone can achieve it by following this plan. Almost before you realize it, you'll have achieved your goal. In looking back, you'll realize that your success was not attributable to any one day, week, or month, but rather it was the consistent, unrelenting, successful succession of single days that turned the trick. This is the way a skyscraper, a home, or a human life is successfully built. One successful day at a time, and each day comprising of a collection of successful acts, one successful act at a time. Now, you've got to admit, that is pretty sound logic. And you know, Earl Nightingale made it so obvious and so simple that anyone listening to this message over and over again just has to form the habit of doing it. Time management is a very general term which takes in a wide variety of things in your life. And as I've just shared with you, Earl Nightingale pointed out that we're not able to manage time anyway. Now, to keep it simple and help us reprogram our paradigm, let's change the two words time management to getting things done. Now, I want to suggest that you take the time and, to the best of your ability, sit down and mark everything down that you did yesterday. Just gauge the day from the time you got up in the morning till you went to bed at night and put them in some kind of chronological order. You know, pause right now, take the time, and mark down everything you did yesterday. Now, I promise you I'm going to come back to that exercise. But for now, let's go back to Earl Nightingale. He said, "In order to advance to the place you've chosen, two things are necessary. One, that you keep your eye on your goal, and two, that you continue to grow from the standpoint of competence and effectiveness." Now, don't get impatient. Don't let the hundreds of little distractions which each day try to get you off course bother you. Pay no attention to them. Shake them off and stay steadily on track. Concentrate on each act of the day from morning to night and do each successfully. Know full well that if each of your acts is performed successfully, at least the greatest majority of them, your life has to be successful. There's no other answer. There's no other way to avoid it. The men and women who are certain to advance are the ones who become too big for their jobs and who have a clear concept of what they want to be, who know that they can become what they want to become, and who are determined to be what they want to be. Remind yourself at this time that people become exactly what they make up their mind to become. Are you too big for your present job? If it's obvious to you that you are, it's obvious to others. You know, people are not given promotions. As a rule, they promote themselves. By becoming too big for their present jobs and making up their mind exactly what bigger and better job or income they're shooting for. And this is done by taking one day at a time, one act at a time during each day. Now, do you see, here we are back again right at that critical point Earl was talking about. Do you know, the world has always cried for men and women who can get things done, for people who are self-starters who see a task through to its finish. It isn't how much you know, but what you get done that the world rewards and remembers. More people are held back from success because they don't know how to get things done than from any other single reason. The biggest handicap to a person's success is not a lack of brains or character or willingness. It is in their inability to get things done. This large group of people know what to do, and they almost do it on time. They almost win promotions. They almost become leaders. They may miss by only a minute or an inch, but they do miss. And until they learn how to gain that minute or inch for themselves, they're not going to make it. You know, the almosts are not lazy. Often they're busier than the very effective few. They putter around unfocused all day long and half the night, although they fail to accomplish very much. They're held back by indecision, by a lack of organization in their work, and an overattention to minor details. They wander aimlessly, and they get nowhere because they don't chart a straight course and then stick to it. You don't need to work harder. You need to work more effectively. You must learn to make your work count. It's the producers who raise the world's standard of living. It's the producers who win the big share of the world's rewards. The producers are those people who have formed the habit of getting things done and who will not permit the almost to knock them off course. Remember the quote from Proverbs that I gave you when I was talking about Earl. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he'll stand before kings." Now, Earl helped clarify this point by asking a very important question. He asked, "But how do we separate the important acts from the unimportant? Did you ever hear of the single idea for which a man was paid $25,000? It was worth every penny of it. The story goes that the president of a steel company had granted an interview to an efficiency expert named Ivy Lee. Lee was telling his prospective client how Lee's firm could help him do a better job of managing the company. When the president broke in to say something to the effect that he wasn't at present managing as well as he knew how, he went on to tell Ivy Lee that what was needed wasn't more knowing, but a lot more doing. He said, "We know what we should be doing. Now, if you can show us a better way of getting it done, I'll listen to you, and I'll pay you anything within reason you ask." Well, Lee then said that he could give him something in 20 minutes that would increase his efficiency by at least 50%. He then handed the man a blank sheet of paper and said, "Write down on this paper the 6 most important things you have to do tomorrow." Well, the man thought about it and did as requested. It took him about 3 minutes. Lee then said, "Now, number them in the order of their importance to you and to the company." Well, that took about 5 minutes. Then Lee said, "Now put the paper in your pocket, and the first thing tomorrow morning, take it out and look at number 1. Don't look at the others, just number 1, and start working on it. And, if you can, stay with it until it's completed. Then take item number 2 the same way. Then number 3, and so on, until you have quit for the day. Don't worry if you've only finished 1 or 2. You'll be working on the most important ones. The others can wait. And if you can't finish them all by this method, you could not have finished them with any other method. And without some system, you'd probably take 10 times as long to finish them, and might not even have them in the order of their importance. Do this every day," Lee went on. "After you've convinced yourself of the value of this system, have your men try it. Try it as long as you like, and then send me your check for whatever you think the idea is worth." The entire interview hadn't taken more than 30 minutes. In a few weeks, the story has it that the company president sent Ivy Lee a check for $25,000 with a letter saying the lesson was the most profitable from a money standpoint he had ever learned in his life. And it was later said that in 5 years, this was the plan that was largely responsible for turning what was then a little-known steel company into one of the biggest independent steel producers in the world. One idea, the idea of taking things one at a time in their proper order, of staying with one act until it's successfully completed before going on to the next, of living one day at a time. This idea is just about everywhere you look. Now, you may be missing it. I missed it for a long time. But when I began to use it, it was as effective for me as it was for Charles Schwab. He was the executive Earl Nightingale was referring to. He was the man who paid $25,000 for this simple yet powerful idea. This is an excellent place for you to stop what you're doing and go back to that sheet of paper where you have recorded all of the activities you were involved in yesterday. Now, I'm going to suggest 3 more exercises that's going to make you acutely aware of how your days are being spent. Now, although you might think that yesterday was not a good example, it probably was, since our conditioning dictates how we do spend our days. You could very well have formed the habit of doing things that other people want you to do that you really don't want to do. You know they are activities that are not going to move you toward your goal, but rather activities that will actually cause you to waste a valuable part of your day. Sit down and review your day's activities, the list that you made, and ask yourself, what items are on here that other people wanted me to do, which were not particularly goal-oriented? Tick those off. Make a list of those. Then when you get that done, you'll see that it's apparent that not only getting things done make you a master of your time management, it'll move you in the direction of your goal. Now, you might be in the habit of doing things you enjoy doing, many of which are not very constructive or goal-oriented. Now, the second area I want you to check is you might be in the habit of doing things that you enjoy doing, many of which may not be constructive or goal-oriented. You want to tag those. Would reading this exercise over for the next 20 days or listening to this exercise over and over again for the next 20 days improve your effectiveness and ultimately your results? I think they would. You know, Sir Walter Scott said, "There will never exist anything permanently noble and excellent in the character which is a stranger to resolute self-denial." Now, the third area, I want you to make a list of the activities of what you did yesterday that actually moved you in the direction of your goal. Then number them. Now, if you're in sales, how much of that time did you spend face-to-face with a real live prospect? How many hours and how many minutes? And what percent of your working day does that time constitute? Now, you're going to find that those exercises are going to be very revealing. And you're going to see that probably a good part of yesterday was literally wasted. You can change that. You can become many, many times more effective. I used Earl Nightingale as a model. I used him as a mentor, but I also used him as a model. I wanted to master the things that he had mastered. I wanted to get a lot done in a short period of time. Now, when you've completed that exercise, let's go back and take a look how Earl elaborates on this $25,000 idea. For the next 7 days, try the $25,000 idea in your life. Tonight, write on a slip of paper the 6 most important things you have to do. Then number them in the order of their importance. And tomorrow morning, go to work on number 1 and stay with it until it's successfully completed. Then move to number 2, and so on. When you've finished all 6, get another piece of paper and repeat the process. You'll be amazed and delighted at the order it brings into your life and at the rate of speed with which you'll be able to accomplish the things that need doing in the order of the importance. Now, this simple but tremendously effective method will take all the confusion out of your life. You'll never find yourself running around in circles wondering what to do next. Remember, as you do, to live the best you can one day at a time. You need not worry about tomorrow or the next day or what's going to happen at the end of the month. One day at a time, handled successfully, will carry you over every hurdle. It will solve every problem. You can relax in the happy knowledge that successful acts make successful days, which in turn build a successful life. This is the kind of unsalable logic no one can argue with. It will work every time for every person. The reason for writing down what you consider only the most important things to do is obvious. Handling each act during the day successfully is important to the degree of the importance of the acts themselves. Doing a lot of unnecessary things successfully can be pretty much a waste of time. Make certain that the acts you take the time to do efficiently are important acts, acts which move you ahead steadily toward your goal. So often youngsters in school worry about a passing grade. They think of all they'll have to do before the end of the school year. Following this course of action, they can stop worrying completely and count on excellent grades. Freshmen in high school and college are frequently plagued by doubts as to whether or not they'll be able to successfully complete the 4 years ahead and graduate. 4 years seems like such a long time to them, almost forever. And this thought leads to a sort of giving up, a fear of failure. It was the great Harvard teacher and psychologist William James who said, in effect, "Let no student worry about the success of their efforts. If the student will do each day as best they can, the work which is before them, they will wake up one day to find themselves one of the competent ones of their generation." Student, assistant, older person, or executive, the plan works for everybody. It removes doubt, fear, and worry, and brings order into our lives. All any of us need to do is face each day as it comes, in good cheer, knowing that we have only to succeed today to guarantee our future. In this way, we'll move steadily ahead, growing more confident with the passing of every day. Others may seem to suddenly shoot up faster and possibly fall much farther, and operate in spurts and fits. But it is to the steady that the rewards are eventually paid. Sir Edmund of Canterbury was right when he said, "Work as though you'd live forever, but live as though you'd die today." Now, try writing down the 6 most important things you have to do tomorrow. Then number them in the order of their importance. First thing tomorrow morning, tackle number 1 and stay with it until it is accomplished. If something should force its delay, move on to number 2. But take them in order and finish them in order as best you can. Try not to get sidetracked by people or things in successfully accomplishing each act of your day. Take the time now, sit down, and write down the $25,000 idea. What are the 6 most important things you have to do tomorrow? When you write them down, think of this. The top 3% are in action every day before the masses even get ready for their day. All successful people make daily commitments and keep them. Make these 6 actions that you're going to do tomorrow a commitment and get them written down before you put your head on the pillow tonight. And as Earl nears the conclusion of today's greatest adventure, he leaves us with something very important to think about. Listen carefully as he said, "And there's nothing mysterious or capricious about achieving outstanding success. It's completely within our individual control and is absolutely predictable. It's simply a matter of doing certain things in a certain way every day, and that's all there is to it. There is no valid reason on earth why you should not become really successful in your field, your home life, and your community. Remember, everything in the entire limitless universe operates on the law of cause and effect. There are no exceptions to this. Nothing happens by accident. For every result, there is a cause. You have only to take care of the cause. The effects will always, without exception, take care of themselves. Good cause, good effect. No cause, no effect. Bad cause, bad effect. It's as reliable as the rising of the sun." This business of living one day at a time, the best we can, has an almost unbelievable cumulative effect for good, for success and the things we want. Sometimes we see a bricklayer starting on a building and putting the first brick in place. We're struck by the size of the job that the person has ahead of them. But one day, almost before we realize it, they're finished. All the thousands of bricks are in place, each one vital to the finished structure, each one sharing its portion of the load. And so should be the days of a human life, and we'll be proud and happy with the finished product. What a wonderful lesson. Now I'm going to give you something that I want you to think about. These are some constructive tips for everyday planning that I have picked up over the years as I've studied Earl's material. Here's the first one. Carry a small notepad for jotting down things to be done. An inexpensive notepad has contributed a major role in the success of many executives. Number two, plan your day tightly. Schedule enough to keep you moving. Number three, schedule your outgoing telephone calls so they can be taken care of at one sitting. And there's less chance of finding busy lines early in the morning or late in the afternoon. Number four, plan meetings for the beginning or close of your day and not in the midst of work periods. Write out a list of things to discuss at each meeting. Number five, plan things that you can work on or think about whilst you're in transit or waiting around. Have material to read or other constructive work handy for odd moments that inevitably crop up. Number six, the best way to stop wasting time is to schedule your time. Plan tomorrow tonight and don't wait for tomorrow morning. Number seven, virtually everyone goes to bed at a different time each night, but as a rule, gets up at the same time every morning. Set your alarm clock back 1 hour, and you'll gain 9 40-hour weeks each year. Sir Walter Raleigh, who built the great tobacco empire, was asked how he accomplished so much in such a short time. Raleigh replied, "When there's anything to do, I start it." Don't look at a thing, start it. Don't imagine that it's too difficult, start it. And don't put it off for a day, start it. Don't pretend that you must think about it, start it. Don't start half-heartedly. Put everything you can muster into your start. It can't be done, but with a forceful start, you can do it. Do you know, you've probably done things throughout your life without using this extra force at the start. Think of how much more you could achieve by making an enthusiastic start at each task, every morning. Many of the world's great producers have had excuses for not getting things done, but they've ignored the excuses and they've produced. They've not had this easy chair state of mind. They've had ailments galore, but they've been spared that combination which has fatal to producing. Dropsy and heart trouble, dropping into an easy chair and not having the heart to get out of it. Isn't that the truth? It's the affliction of the masses. The successful people have produced regardless because they are professionals. And as Bill Gove pointed out, a pro is at their best regardless. You now have a plan. It's your plan for tomorrow. Get up early and follow Raleigh's advice. Start with intensity. Don't be distracted by the know-it-all who's behind in their installment payments. A person who's doing their best today is truly alive, but a person who did their best yesterday is stagnant. I can make enough money as it is the alibi of the person who imagined that people should work for money instead of results. Make up your mind you're going to work for results. Get to love this lesson. play it over and over and over again until the ideas that Earl gave us are part of your way of thinking, a part of your way of life. You'll be richly rewarded. This is Bob Proctor. Thank you.